www.cbs.com and leave it at that for our city of Lisa. There are some other issues that I want to, you know, probably take up in Kesel also that relate to this. But for the, a number of issues, including generally Ramon with the Suffolk Parliament, there are a few other little tangential issues around the building of the COSEL and the Hotner. But let's take a look. I mean, we spent a lot of time yesterday studying apoptosis. Let me just remind you where we're at. Very brief chazar. Tosfos perceived the stira between the Mishnah and the Gemara Daf Aleph. According to the Mishnah, the way Tosfos understood it, the way really all Rishonim understood it, the reason why, when the chatzer, when the wall of the chatzer falls, that we divide it up equally, we assume it belongs to both. And the party, to borrow the Gemara says, the maskana of the Gemara, that even though one of the parties holding on to it fell into the Rishos, the reason why we don't allow them to get a hazaka is because the other guy, he was able to force the other guy to build the wall in the first place and share the costs, and there's no way he would have built it on his own. Therefore, let me say it this way, he cannot taina. He cannot taina, I built the wall myself. And therefore, it's my material. The Gemara Daf Aleph Amud Aleph suggested, after talking about the issue of Bika, and discussing the issue of Bika, that the Mishnah said that both Bika, you can't force the other party to build a wall. But if you do build the wall jointly, so the Mishnah says each one builds a chazis. If one person built the wall alone, then only that person makes the chazis. So the Gemara says, why bother with chazis? Don't have a chazis at all. So Tosfos says, what do you mean don't have a chazis at all? Well, of course you want a chazis for each guy, because what happens if the wall falls and falls to one person's rishus? So Tosfos says, if there's no chazis at all, it's my wall, because I built it myself. And in that case, you cannot force him to build a wall. So Tosfos' answer is that in a chanami, even if you couldn't force the other person to build the wall in the chatzer, if we knew that there was a wall in the chatzer, and now we see that it has fallen. Now we see that it has fallen. And then, one party has it. So we don't allow them to claim. They can't claim that wall. By saying, I built it myself. Why? Because Moksakish doesn't work there. Because when the wall was standing, we had no idea who it belonged to, but we already knew we had no idea it belonged to. And the eye of one was Gosan. Now that it falls and one of the parties grabs it, he can't say that he built the wall himself. Period. But, so what does it accomplish? What does it accomplish then that you could force the other person to build the wall? How does that bolster the case of the guy who the stones are not in his possession? So Tosfos says, the difference between having a chazaka of shukfas, I'm going to make invent that term, just by the fact that we knew there was a wall there, we didn't know it belonged to, but it was there, and the difference between that and the chazaka of shukfas that's a product of the fact that you can force the other party to build the wall, is that the former is not an anansade. It's not proof. It's absence of evidence. That's all it is. The latter is proof that it was built a shukfas. What's enough, Kamina? It's a nice hakira, but who cares? Enough Kamina is, what happens if the wall stays there for a long time on one person's side? At which point Tosfos claims, the Rif does not agree, neither does the Torah. You can say, I bought the wall from you. Because shukfas are not mapped on one another, only up until a point. So in both cases, you could claim, I bought the wall from you, if it sat there a long time. But what if, in such a case, where the wall sat there a long time, you say, I built the wall myself? So in a case where the only reason why we assume the two of you built the wall, a chazak or shukfas, was just because we didn't know, and neither party was mosa, you'll be believed with amigo that since you could have said the kachdiya of them, you believe to say, I built it. Once you have a chazak of shukfas, that's the product of, you can force the other guy to build the wall. That's an anan sade, that it was built to shukfas. That's badalas. And therefore, you can win if you say, lekachia, I bought it. But if you say, I built it, that's a nika b'makamei. Even though you could have won with the other taina, you don't win, you lose, because you're lying. Because we know that you didn't build that wall yourself. That's what comes to say. Now, the only thing that we had a question, Tosfos, was, is that the lishna kama, that both parties have to agree in order to force the party to build the wall. The only way it's bal karcho in the first lashon is if you made a kinyan. Well, that's identical to the case of Bikka as well. And by Bikka and Chatzar are identical for Tosfos in the general din, according to the first lashon of the Gemara. Hezek v'ya lashmei hezek and a Chatzar, and it's not hezek and a Bikka, only a Medina. And the only way you can force the other party to build a wall is if they agree to build a wall and make a kinyan on it. And now they don't want to do it, then you can force them. So Gabe's question was, well, then at the end of the day, it's also about karka. So the answer we gave is no. That in the first case, we know that you can force the party to build a wall because there were edim to the kinyan. There were edim to the kinyan. But in the second case, there were no edim to the kinyan. And if there are no edim to the kinyan, then we don't actually know that you were able to force the other party to build the wall. And the only way we even know that the wall would have been built with shurfas is if both parties made a chazis. But if neither party makes a chazis, Tosa says, well, at that point, we have no edim that you could force the other guy, because there are no edim to the kinyan. And we have no evidence that the wall was built by both men. But we do know that the wall was standing there, when it was standing there, that nobody knew who it belonged to. So when the wall falls, at least in the short term, neither party can claim osakas, because it's a suffix of shufas. That's the way Tosfos understood putting these things together. Now, Tosfos added a little bit of an overlay to this, which can be separated out. I mean, you don't have to buy Tosfos' whole argument to sort of accept the following. The kasha of Tosfos is, how do you read the Gemara on Daf Gimel? When the Gemara asked, "Mafikat nafum akosa hamakom vanim shoshem shita," so the Gemara says, "Keep going the nafal rishus b'chadina." So Tosfos says that. That's a given in the entire discussion. Right? That's a given in the entire discussion. The whole chiddush of the Mishnah, the way Tosfos says, is that there's an anan sade. But if all the case of the Mishnah is that the mechitza fell into one person's rishos, so Tosfos says, you can't even taina, I bought the wall. Because you can't claim in the short term, when we know that you were shutvin, right? Because you could force the guy to build a wall. You can't claim chazaka on something that was known to be owned by shutvas. So Tosfos is mechadish. No, you can't claim on something that's known to be bought that owned by shutvas in the short term. Because shutvin lokaf the adadi, but only adkan. Beyond that, shut from a matrix. So that's what the Gemara was saying. Of course, the Gemara knew that it fell into one person's rishus because that was a given. And the Gemara said that Kamash Malan, the Mishnah, that even if it fell into one person's rishus and sat there a long time, where you would be neman to say in lakachtiyah himenu, you're not neman to say I built the wall, because that's a mikvah of not making way. The entire finish of the Mishnah. From the pika from Asu, the pika in Nafala Kosam of Hashem, is that there's an anan, because you can force the other party to build, there's an anan sade that you build the wall. And Miko that runs against that doesn't help you because it's a Miko Vamakame. Now, without buying Tosfos' larger point, you could still agree, and let me formulate this way. The rift uses this. Somebody, take a look at the riff. I don't have a riff Gemara with me, but okay, look at the riff. And go toward the end of this sugya, right before the next Mishnah. There's a comment of the riff.
You'll leave, but I just want to... I'm not there. It's so nice. I'll say this once this year. Shamina Mehamel Sahib, the Yosef Hadar Tom Pitch Dalit. One of the very nice things in the Yosef Hadar is that they bold for you the parts of the riff that are not in the Gemara. Because most of the riff is just the digest of the Gemara. The reason why that's terrible is because you're going to trust them and they make mistakes. Many years ago, the yeshiva was studying Baba Kama, we were learning Maruba. And I was breaking my head on a Ramban in the Sugya of Harsha'a of Urkisa. And I couldn't understand what the Ramban was talking about until I realized that the Yosef Hadar edition, they had put in punctuation, and they put the punctuation in the wrong place. And I totally misread Ramban, because I was on the punctuation. As soon as I heard the punctuation, it was like, oh, now I know what the Ramban is talking about. So, in this case, you read, but always be very suspicious of them when they do this in the riff, they do it one way, in the rush, they might do it the other way. In the rush, I think they bold the Gemara. This is a lot more biblical material. Don't trust them. But it's still useful anyway. But if you trust them wholeheartedly, you're going to go down, they're going to mislead you sometimes. Go ahead. Shamina Mehamel Sa.
Shamina Mehamel Sa. The meals of the idea that you should be up a guy to eat the hash that was just a time in Ayu. But not a meal of Zaka Digida. My time up. You should be sure to look out the other day. Took off, leave the Zaka, Kara Kare, El Birayo, Ola Afa Kaluka.
Does the riff make any exceptions? Like shows not harbe?
No.
And the rush doesn't die, then that's what the Torah quotes. The Rashba doesn't accept Tosas' larger principle, but he does buy into this part. The Rashba agrees with Tosas that in show harbe, you have a kind of lakoch of the yet. Ali Mel, any question or comment?
Dave, can you just like read the last half of the line again? I'm wondering if we have different riffs.
So you need either Adim.
Chata Chabri is not in the Nano Zohadar.
That's in the other?
I'm not sure. All I thought was that there was a difference, but it doesn't
get right. Right, okay. I'm glad he was reading carefully and you were reading carefully too. Good. Okay. So now, well, let's go back to the original question because that's going to be the interesting part. Both in how you read the Gemara, and Tosus' assertion that when you look at a situation and you don't know who it belongs to, that still prevents somebody else from now getting a chazaka. I mentioned this case briefly the first day in Shir, but it's worth reiterating. Nas, the Rishonim cited here, Nas HaDerabi Abba. What's Nas HaDerabi Abba? Nas is like a bar of metal, precious metal. So that Gemara Shua has, and it's quoted in that somebody grabbed a bar from his friend. The Edom saw him grab a bar. So the Edom said, Chatafta, you stole it. You grabbed it. You chatfta. And he said, In, chatfi, vididi chatfi, that it's mine. I know that the original one case was with the Edeha that I mentioned. But if two Adams see you do that, you know what the vin is. You're a gazlan. Oh, yeah, honey, go. It's irrelevant. You can't get muksakas on something when the Adam already saw you take it. They saw it in that person's rishus. Now you grab it, that's not a hazaka. It's not a hazaka. So that's the second case. There are two cases. The other case I mentioned is that if there's an Adam, you also lose. Why do you lose? Because in order to win, you have to swear to contradict the Eid, but you can't contradict the Eid because you're saying that what the Eid said is true. You're saying that, yes, I did eat. What he's saying is correct. You lose. If you can't take an Eid to be a shua to be the Eid, then that Eid is treated like two Eid. So it's the same, it's effectively the same thing. The same advantage is that once Eid saw the object in one person's possession, they see you grab it, they have to see you grab it, it doesn't work. You can't change Mosakos that way. So Tosus' chiddush is, even though we saw a wall which was in nobody's possession, but we saw it in nobody's possession, therefore you can't get Mosakos on it afterwards. And because obviously we know the wall's full. Here's the deal. If I see Elimelech
has an object, and it's his, and it's not an object you lend out, and it's not an object, and an Eitan's not, it's not a craftsman. And then tomorrow I see the object in Eitan's possession. He says he bought it from you, so when you stole it, he's going to win, because he's most of it now. But by the wall, Tosfos is claiming, we saw it, in effect, neither body's Moksah, but it's like both of them are Moksah. And now it falls, and now it's all on the Eitan's side, Eitan came out of the country Moksah. That was Tosfos' claim. And that's why I think the other Rishonim would disagree and say that's not true. That's simply not true. That if nobody has a clear chazaka on it, and then we see it, it might even be that Eitan grabbed the wall in our presence, knocked it over, and took the bricks. It might even be that he can most upon it. Because it's not undermining what we know already. Because what do we know so far? Nothing. So the Rashba responds to, let's now take a look at the Rashba. Who would like to read for me? Eli Melech.
First one. Two cases where either the wall falls into one rishos, or it fell in the middle and someone came and cleared it into their rishos. But Amar Didi in the Unis makes a thing that belongs to him. Nevertheless, I guess we have taken it back from him. The Adam Sade, the cave on the Afolim of the Chof Zed, Hilatan with no Peshitov, Lo, Ayater, Ahlav, Havero, Lane Shneham, and Plunder.
Okay. So far, he reads the Gemara straightforward. Just a comment about the words. Anan Sade means literally what? What's that?
We are witnesses.
We are witnesses. Anan Sade, that's what it means. The way we translate it is that Anan Sade is an umbana. Right? Anan Sade is not that we are literally with eyewitnessing it, but we look at the situation and we assume. We assume reasonably so, correctly so, that it must be built in a building. And so now the Rashba explains.
The Yilav Amina must meet the Dina de Chafira. How Amina, the Nisha, co-faced by Hanan, Kali Mukhsar. The Mishnah hadn't mentioned the whole idea of one being able to force the other. One might have thought that Mukhsar had been operating under the role of Mukhsar, in which case whoever has it in their possession is the Baba Yida, Motsi Mehta, or
Allah. Right, if you weren't able to be co-fed, then Mukhsar could work. So now we ask the question.
The Eagle of Meda, the Havdik, Shain, the Haibin, Oto, with Dor, the Tunnel of Kaman, being Asu, Mida, Shnehem, Bonin, Akotel, Emsa, Bosu, the Hazi, the Kanikan, the Fiha, Inahal, Akotel, Makumba, and Shal Shnehem. In the case of the Bikha, which the Mishnah had said that if it was built with the knowledge or the intent of both of them, that the wall is built in the middle, and you're supposed to place these markers on either side. Therefore, in the event the wall falls, it's split up between the two.
Right, and that's a case where you can't force the party to build the wall. And then,
but on rebound, we're going to allow the Gemara, the lo yasa, lo lose, the lo lose. Neither were able to force the other to build it. Ufarkinon, dilma kadu had minayu, the avi. V'amar kule didiru. So in the event that someone would say, you know, I proceeded and I just did it on my own, and therefore it all belongs to me.
Did you notice this is different than what it says in our Gemara? I hadn't noticed it. You basically see the difference, very different parents, actually. Major change, no? Yoni? What is the difference? Oh, were you raising your hand? I'm sorry.
Your eye level.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't wearing glasses. I just saw your hand. What? Ellie?
No, I thought I had it in the right.
Okay.
Your mom?
And what's the difference? You're right. What's the difference?
Well, it sounds like Agamar is saying that one guy actually made one already, and therefore the other guy makes one also.
Yeah.
I was saying we're concerned that one guy can't do it.
I love this interpretation. Because it's a totally different interpretation. I hadn't noticed this because I wasn't thinking about this question. The Rashba, here's something about would seem to suggest, that this in fact is the maskana. In other words, you do lechad klila each build a chazis, because we're afraid one person's going to go ahead and do it. So we just did this, don't make a chazis. Whereas the way it means in our Gemara is you only need two chazises, and one person already went ahead and made a chazis. There are reasons I like that, actually, because it fits just better in Metzias. A chazis is something that has to be done with planning before, otherwise it won't look normal. Then the Rashba's reading makes much more sense. Because if you build a wall and one guy went and built a chazis, it might be too late for the guy to make a chazis that doesn't look like an artificial animal. Okay, I'm not sure I'm going to say it matters so much for our purposes. Okay, so go ahead anyway. So the Rashba says now,
Right,
so this is the premise of the question, which clearly Tosafot started with but rejects, but the Rashba does not reject. Is if you do not know who it belongs to, if it's Yidia, then it's most of the Shutfei. Then that's a chazaka that you almost have to stand override. But within the absence of that, you can get a chazaka. So why did the Gemara say don't bother with the chazas? Two chazas is proof that that's badalos of shufas. No chazas is no idea. So he says a Rashi Zal,
Nishmar Gizev, Lo Yahasa, Lo Zev, Lo Zev, Ari Siman, Shalo Asa, Echa, Mishalo.
So Rashi basically said the absence of a chazis is evidence that both made it, because if only one party made it, it would be one chazis. Lo ra'inu havi raya is not a universal call. Go ahead. But if you had a kotel in the chatzer, then because there's no takana to make the chazis when you build the wall yourself, there's no way, the absence of a chazis really does mean nothing. So then you would have said if the wall falls into one person's rishus, they could get a chazak on it. Except for the fact that it's been forced every party to build a wall. That basically does away with the whole cash. Now, the Rashba in the next piece is going to explore the part about it. Here he just says they didn't make the takana, they made the chazis in the chatzer. But he's going to explore that in much greater depth in the next piece, which is to talk about the difference between chatzer and mikvah, or if there is any difference according to the Shekama, and why does the Mishnah not put them together. So we continue. Anybody else want to read? Who hasn't volunteered? Nixon. By the way, if you, as a reader, if people don't mind and you're uncomfortable and you want to unmask just to read, that's fine. So you have to have Edom that they agreed to make a mechitza, because otherwise you can't force the other party to build the bal kocha. Right? The Lishna Kama holds hezek v'yilash mehezek, and therefore no matter what the size of the chatzir is, you can never force the other party to build a hezek v'yilash. So when we say mechitza, because you can force the other party to build it, it means the two of you made a kinyan. But how do we know you made a kinyan? The answer is, Tosafot says also, we have Edom, you made a kinyan. Edom, you made a kinyan to build the wall. And now, since you have to build the wall, the other guy is never going to build it himself. Halahari. Okay, so we're talking about a chatzer. If you have no Edom, if there's a wall there, and you have no aid, and it falls into somebody's rishos, and you have no aid them that they made a kinyan to build a wall, then there's no grounds on which you can say that both parties are mosaka, because I couldn't, A, I can't force you ipso facto to build a wall. And there's no evidence that you agreed to build the wall where after the agreement I can force you to build the wall. So I can get a regular chazaka. So not only in that case, but he thinks, go ahead, ba'afilu. So what is Rashba saying here? What are you saying? What's the Rashba trying to emphasize here? Because this is a chiddush. You could take issue with this, especially in light of the way end of the last paragraph in this Rashba. When I have a chatzer sheyesh b'din chaluk and I see a wall, let's say Eli Melech and me, we have a chatzer assuming like the first lashon, hezek v'lashon hezek. You see a chatzer sheyesh b'din chaluk and there's a wall. And it fell into my side, and I'm claiming I built the wall all by myself. Now, what is the presence of that wall tell us about Elimelech's assent, his agreement? Does the wall tell us he agreed to anything? Elimelech said, seal it. Because certainly, we have no evidence that he agreed to build the wall. So there's no evidence to that. And you might say, but he at least agreed to divide the chatzah. No, he didn't. Because the chatzah is large enough that I could force the division without his agreement. So there, obviously, without Aiken, that Elimelech agreed to build the wall in the first place, right? But then force him once he made the agreement. There's nothing to indicate that Elimelech was on board with any of this.
Doesn't matter.
But what's that?
Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't, except that there's nothing at all to indicate that I can't get chazaka on the stuff that fell into my rishos.
Except that since you could have forced me to build it.
I could have forced you to build it. I couldn't even force you to divide it from Chatzer.
Right,
you might.
Can't force me to build a wall.
No. I'm sorry. No, I didn't have force. Let me rephrase it. In a Chatzer Sheyesh B'din Chalukah, there is no suggestion at all that you agreed to do anything. I couldn't force you to build a wall. If, in the second case, where it's a Chatzer Sheyesh B'din Chalukah, so the fact that I build a wall there shows that you at least were partly on board. Because you would agree to divide up the chatzah. You could have said, no, I don't want any wall. Not only do I not want to contribute, I don't want to see the wall. Okay? Don't build the wall. Right? You have Republicans versus Democrats here. Right? You can be the liberal Democrat and I have to be the conservative Republican. I want a wall and you say there'll be no wall here. But in a case where chatzah sheyesh b'din chalukah. So when I see a wall there, when I see a wall in that case, I know that you at least agree to divide up the chatzah. And once we divide the chatzah, I do what on my side, you do what you want on your side. But in a case where the chatzah sheyesh b'din chalukah, the fact that there's a wall there might show that you agree to nothing. See, what Rashba's coming to point out is on the second case, since you agreed to divide up the chatzer, maybe that's right line with Davar, that you also agreed to build the wall. And nonetheless, he said no. Your assent to divide the chatzer without Eden does not in any way indicate. And you obviously had to agree, because it's chatzer and Luka. That is not even a right line with Davar, that you agreed to build the wall as well, and therefore I could force you, and therefore I can't get asam. He says not only in the first case by a chatzer sheyesh b'din chalukah that the presence of a wall indicates no agreement on your part, but even on a chatzer she'ein b'din chalukah, where the presence of a wall means at least you are amenable to dividing the chatzer, still doesn't mean that you agreed. In no way does that point to the possibility that you agreed to building the wall. Remember that in the last case, the Rashba and subsequent quote it's machlokas from the Rabban. Supposing we have the whole hezek riyah shnei hezek. You hold Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek. and you have a chatzer she'in b'din chalutah. And we see a wall there. So if we see a wall, according to the Lishva Basra, if we see a wall in the middle of a chatzer she'in b'din chalutah, what does that mean minimally?
You agree to divide it up.
You agree to divide it up. Now, once you agree to divide it up, and you made a kinyan, what happens then?
Also, so you built it together.
I can force you to build the wall. Now, the only question there, and that's the machlokas, the Rashba cites on Yesh Omrim and the Ramban, is we have evidence that there was a chalukah, that you agreed to divide it up. There is a possibility, Elimelech, that when you agreed to divide it up, you said, yes, Rabbi, but I will not contribute one penny to the building of the wall. And otherwise, I won't agree to divide it. So it's an evidentiary question, right? But the difference between, I think, these two cases, and the Rashba probably sides with Ramban, but the difference between the two cases is that in the first case, there's evidence that you agreed to divide up the chatzer, but that in itself wouldn't compel you to build the wall. In other words, by default, if a lishna kama, if we divide up a chatzer, shema din chalukah, I can't force you to build a wall. You can't force me to build a wall. And therefore, since that's the default option, you have to prove, I have to prove that you agreed to build the wall as well. Or you would have to prove that you agreed to build the wall as well. You were bound to, and therefore I went to build it without you. And since you can't prove that, because I'm waiting, I'm Muslim. I went. There's no evidence that you were obligated to build a wall, and therefore there's no evidence that I wouldn't have built a wall on my own. But in the second, but Lishna Basra, what we know is that you agreed to divide this chatzer. It's possible that you decide to attach it tonight, but that we don't see in front of us. So we know you agreed to divide the chatzer. We see that there's a wall. And if you've agreed to divide up the chatzer in a stam, I could force you to build a wall. Therefore, we assume, as a default, unless you can prove there was a t'nai there, unless I can prove there was a t'nai there, we know that you agreed to divide the class of ivory. We assume that we did it, and then once we did it, either one of us could force us to build the wall. And therefore, we assume, tell the Maya Shus, I have no chazaka. That's the difference between, the Rashba has three scenarios here, right? Chatzah Sheshbo, Din Chaluka, you see a wall for the lishna kama. Chatzah she'ima din chaluka, and you see a wall for the lishna kama. And then chatzah she'ima din chaluka in the lishna basra, and you see a wall. And just to sketch this out, just the possibilities. What would we say? What would the din be if we saw a chatzah she'ima din chaluka according to the lishna basra? Could I get a chazaka? Yoni?
It hasn't been chalukah.
What's that? It's large enough. The Shach Shishwa is a chalukah.
And we're talking about
it. And we're
talking about Gufta?
Yeah, Lishna Basra, yes.
Okay, so then that we're saying it's a creation, so then automatically we need to go to water.
Correct. And therefore, you don't even have to ask the question. That's the simplest of all the cases. But there, and again, you can see how the cases kind of invert Elimelech, because if you hold like Lishna Basra, Chatzer Shesh B'Din Chaluka, of course we built the wall together. I can force you, your assent is totally unnecessary for anything. I can force you to divide the Chatzer, and clearly, it doesn't matter whether we agree or force. And since I can force you to divide the chatzer and force you to build a wall, I never build a wall on my own. By a chatzer she'in b'din chaluka, of Lishna Basra, so there, we're not sure, because you agreed to divide the chatzer, did you attach tonight to it if you don't want to build the wall or not? And that's the machlokas. But for the Lishna Kama, so now we have to establish, looking at the wall, that I could force you to build it. And we have no proof. So not only in a case where I could force you to divide up the wall, but can't force you to build it. Not only in such a case do we assume that we have no proof that that's, you know, without Eden, that I could force you to build the wall, but even in a case where we know that you agreed to divide up the concept, and maybe therefore we would have assumed that you agreed to build the wall as well, we don't assume that. And therefore, in the absence of Eden, that you agreed to build the mechitza, this whole thing doesn't get off the ground. That's what the Rosh Hashanah says. Okay, so now he has a very, very... Okay, so that's the first half. Did you read all the way to Mekashali?
No.
All right. Where are you up to that? Have you looked at the Chalukah?
I go to the
Hilka. The Hilka, okay. Once you've made them, if they broke the beam to build up the wall, you can force the other party to build the wall, and therefore the din of the mishnah applies. Now he just has a textual question that actually. Okay, so before you go on in the Rashba's rejecting of what he might have said, this sort of highlights the answer that we gave yesterday to your Dave's question in Tosfos. And probably had at the end of Shia that according to Tosfos, how is according to the Mishnah Kama, how a Chatzer and Mikra any different? They're identical. They're both cases. In other words, by a Chatzer, according to the Mishnah Kama, when can I force you to build a wall? When you agreed to build a wall and made a kinyan. By a Bikka, if you made a kinyan and agreed to build a wall, can I force you to build a wall? Yes, that was the kasha we had against Moses. The parrots we gave, which he says we have to correct. And the Rashba is assuming that, if you think about very carefully what he says, is that in the second case of the Mishnah, the kinyan wasn't done obviatim, and therefore the only way to prove that you built the wall together can't be on the fact that it's true the two of you might have agreed to build the wall, but we don't have proof of that. So what's the proof that you built the wall jointly? Chazas mikan mikan. It's not that you couldn't have had Edom in the sake of the Mishnah, it's that you didn't have Edom. And the riot that you didn't have Edom is, the Mishnah talks about Chazas, talks about the Takana. So now the Rashba says, granted that the Mishnah chose to teach us two different scenarios, the Chatzah when we have Edom to the Kinyan, the Bikka when we have Chazas, which is the proof that they built them all together. But what is the din in both cases? Tell me Eitan, either Eitan. According to the Mishnah Kama, in a Bikka, if you two of you make a kinyan to build a mechitza, can one party force the other to build a mechitza? No. If the two of you make a kinyan,
on the hands.
Right. What's the din by chatzar if the two of you make a kinyan? Can you force them to build a chatzar, build a wall?
Yeah.
That's given. And what if you didn't make a kinyan in a Bikka? Can you force the other guy to build a wall?
Yeah.
No. And what about in a chatzar if you didn't make a kinyan? Can you force the other guy to build a wall?
Yeah.
No. So the Rashba is saying, granted that the Mishnah is two different scenarios, the Chatzer Bina Bikka, Gina is unique because Hezek Bina Shmehezek. Chatzer Bikka, Hezek Bina La Shmehezek. Chatzer, Shem Ratzu Lasos, a Kosam, they made a Kinyan, we made it into the Kinyan, you can force the other party to build the wall, hence, Lepikach Anafah HaMakavan Rishoshen. Seifa, there are no Eidim, because the Mishnah gives the case of Chazas. If there were two Chazases, and the Maskana will be no Chazases also. If there are two Chazases, and the wall falls, it's an indication not that you could force the party to build, but you did build the Peshuttas. Right? That's better than the ratio of the Mishnah. But what would the din? But the din is identical. And what should the din be at this stage in the Rashba? If you build the Chazas, there were no Eidim to the kinyan, but you built the chatzer a wall jointly, and you made a chazas on both sides. So what should it then be in the chatzer? Same as the bikka. So they're two different cases, but the din is the same. If you just want to sketch each other out, so the Rashba's question is, why is the Mishnah have these two different cases? Why bother teaching us one aspect, shem ratzu, they made a kinyan in the Mishnah,
than the Chazus and the Sefer. That's his question. It's only a question according to the Mishnah Kama. It's only a question according to the Mishnah Kama where Hezek Reed Lashmei Hezek. So you can never really force the other party to build a wall unless they agree to build a wall in the first place. Continue. The summer, are you seeing? So I would have said that in Echanami, the din and the takana are identical. And then what? The kashala. Yeah, why would they not? Why did the Tana of the Mishnah move out of the case of Chatzer and then give you a bigger case? Just tell us, Chatzer, here's the din. If they're Edom Shekhar Miyado, or not, if they make a Chazus on each side, if the wall falls, Amakam Avadu Shashem. Why split it across two? You would have said Yishlamar.
Yishlamar, Karva, Kitzer, Bashkin, and Berisha.
So the first step is that you have to teach us the din of Gina, according to the Shekhama, that if Chatzer there's no Hezekriya, Gina there is Hezekriya. What now? You say, okay, so by Chatzer, teach you both dinim, Eidim Shekhama Yadal and Chazis, and then teach us Gina, and we're done. That's much more, you can't stop there. Why? The Chayman. So in other words, they have to give us the case of Ikka as well. Because once you teach us the din of Gina, there is Hezekriya. Well, by Ikka, this also could have been the same Hezekriya. It happens to be, we don't treat it that way because it's very seasonal. It's a very short time of the year. Whereas by Gina, it's all the year. So we need a concept to tell you there's no din of Hezekriya. We need to show you Gina, there's Hezekriya. Once we teach you Gina, we have to tell you Bika. So that's why. But he says, okay, go ahead. Okay. So that's what he says, that is what I would have said. Okay. And now he says, Al Bakashali. So what's the Rosh Bas Kasha?
If there was no, if we didn't even know the din of Kiyan Vishnu, we would still know that they split it.
There's no Chazus. So he says, what's the answer? Right. Sometimes there's no way to leave an evidence trail in the actual physical building that you built it at one part of the building. You have to have a shtar executed there. You have to have some kind of other raya. Shtar or Edom. Okay. The Nirali. Right, because the purpose of the Chazus is not for the two parties involved. They know who built it. The purpose of the Chazus is that other people say, hey, there was Chazus on that wall, so we know who it belongs to. And they will, in fact, become Edom. Right? When the wall falls, at that point, you may not even be able to tell which side the Chazus was on. But a Bikka is a place where lots of people pass by. Okay?
Is Joshua saying that you could have moved the Chazus and the actual place would not be recognizable? I mean, if I move a Chazus,
no,
is it clear? Does it look different than I saw the wall? Or is it just that people saw this Chazus there and now they see the Chazus not there?
No. If people, again, once the wall falls, even if their Chazus was still there, it may be hard to tell which side it was on. But if you, but when it wall is standing, if you peel it off, it will be recognizable. That's he says that. And that's it's from the Gemara, that fell on the base.
It's recognizable because it looks different than the wall, or it's recognizable because people will be like, hey, where that husk go?
No. It's recognizable. In other words, it's not
like this color.
Yeah. Like one side would be more. It depends if it's a shape, if it's or if it's plaster or something like that. But either one will be more weathered, or it's the shape of the wall that you can't. It'll be misshapen. So people will walk by and say, "Oh yeah, there's a chazak." It's a double off part. That's all. That's what he said. Sheini yisirelu yishama yekofenu yivad b'ha'inu. Well, we know it means when it's standing. I think avo b'bayis, nobody's going to see it. Okay, and therefore. And Latana. Right, now, so you have to teach us Chatzer because you have to teach us the din. There's no Hazakir by Chatzer. Then you have to teach us Kino, there is a din. By Chatzer, you taught us the din, but you couldn't teach us the Takanta because there is no Takanta by Chatzer. Therefore, you're going to teach us Bika and you'll teach us the Takanta then. Yes, Gabe?
This Kasha doesn't apply to Tosfos, right?
Well, that's because Tosfos came up with a totally different. Tosfos assumes that the absence of a chazis is not evidence of anything.
Right. So you figured he could have accepted the Rashba's first answer. But really, we taught about Bika, but it applies also by chazir.
Yes.
So there's no indication that Tosfos necessarily holds that a chazis doesn't apply by chazir. Could be a chazis also applies by chazir.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Are there any
reasons
we say
very
sad
about
it?
I don't want to say it, none of them are aware of it. I mean, it's clear. it sounds like Tosfos holds. I mean, you can work backwards. And if you look at the Nemuke Yosef, I think also it was, because he quotes the Rinnegash. But I'm going to make good here in the case of it sounds like that those who hold that a chazis will hold that a chazis. That could be Tosfos. Okay. The chayim pasav. Let me read the last line. Okay, that is what the Rimi Dash meant. Okay, so now, last thing in this Rashba. Okay. So, Yitav Edim, if they agreed to divide up the Chatzar. And once you have Edim agreed to divide up the Chatzar, he has to prove, you absolutely have to prove that he had a Tanai yet. And you made it tonight. And presumably Edim would know if you made it tonight. When you made it in front of the agreement, in front of the Edim, divide the Chatzar, he should have stood here with it. And he didn't, so we know he didn't. But what happens if we don't have Edim? So, do we know that he agreed to divide up the Chatzar? We do. How do we know? Chatzar Shemin HaKaluka. It's an Anan Sade, and he agreed. In fact, it's better than Anan Sade. He Vada agreed. But what we don't know is whether or not he attached it tonight. So the first Shita that the Rashba quotes is that the default option, you have to prove everything. It's not enough. In other words, when Edom saw the Chalukah, so the Edom can say there was no Tanakh. But if it's basis of an umdana, a very powerful umdana, that wall is there, he can say, yes, but I made a condition. He made a condition that I was going to build, he wouldn't agree to divide, I didn't build a wall. So I built the wall. And now the stuff's in my manifesto. Bye. But then he says, "V'yesh mishadusha." No, you write this way. Kvar no da.
Kvar no da.
Okay, and the whole shepherd. Okay, and that's the Ramban's opinion. So I just want to spend a couple of minutes to flesh this out a little bit. One of you, I don't remember who was it that came to me. Must have been a friend. Came to me in very big trouble by this. What's the problem with the Ramban's opinion? It's not a problem. What question are you going to ask? It's worth thinking about this question. Supposing I'm going to go back to the classic case that we started with this argument. I sell Yitzchak a cow. He makes a kinyan, pays me the money. But let's even say he doesn't pay me money. He gives me a blank check to fill in the value of the cow. I haven't filled in the check and deposited in the bank yet. And Yitzchak says, this Johnny Ox, he's crazy. And he's a lunatic ox. I can't keep him around love. And I said, I sold it to you to Shechem. Yitzchak says, but I didn't buy a cow for Shechem, an ox for Shechem. I said, well, I sold you one for Shechem. So I say the blank check because they presumably have different values. Those are folks, not this. So I fill in. Let's say a shor l'ridya for plowing is $100. A shor l'ritza for shechting is $80. It's more limited. Shech the cow that's for plowing. If you can't plow the cow that's for shechting. So I'm going to write $80 on the check. He says, no, don't write $80 on the check. I don't want the sale to be valid. So it's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that since if most people buy a cow for plowing, then you can cancel the deal. Shmuel says, we made a vow like Kenyan, and you want to claim, and as I sold it to you, I want to say, you say most people buy it for this, I say, I'm not most people, and you didn't say otherwise. Therefore, the sale stands. So basically, what are we essentially doing? We're saying that the Mosaf wins, even though the Rove is against him. Because right now, I'm holding the money, he's holding the cow. So the question that I think Ephraim, you would want to ask us today, Edward, was it you? Is when I see this wall that was built on this chatzer that was divided, which was Eilad and Chalukah. And now I want to take, in effect, money away from Elimelech, because I say he only agreed to divide up the chatzer. He only agreed to divide up the chatzer because if I would build the wall. And that's what I did. And that stuff's in my rishas. So even though, typically speaking, that wouldn't be the case, why doesn't Elimelech win on the ground? So, Ein Hocham B'Mamon Achal HaRov. Frames that the question, right? Okay. Everybody hear the question? Right, we're trying to take away your part of the wall, Elimelech, on the claim that there was no Tanai in the sale. The sale which we didn't witness, by the way. We know that you gave me the rights, you agreed to write concept. But we have no, it's not like when there was a sale of the cow, the sale was done. We know what the sale happened. There are witnesses to the sale. Yitzchak bought the cow for me. There are witnesses that he made a kinyan, that we agreed. Yitzchak, I'm selling you a cow. Happy to buy the cow. Kinyan, done. There are no witnesses here to the actual transaction of the agreement to divide up the concept. So, why do we assume that Elimelech gave away the entire store? Maybe he only agreed to divide it up on the condition that I build the wall. And you'll tell me because the normal thing to do is to build the wall together. Yes, but that's a rope. There is a need. Ellie?
Is there no level of rope that would, in fact, go against us? I mean, you could say there's a rope and there's a rope.
you get to a high enough percentage, a high enough probability, and...
So one possibility is that, and what's the other possibility? That's one conceptual approach, which is to narrow the scope of Ein Homo Machana Arok to basically reduce, and not, you might say both are true, even though you only need one here. Let me give you a mashal to that, a little bit far-flung, but not probably far-flung, it's a very important thing you should know about. There's chazaka tafu le'seftan dum le'sef armala. That it applies in kiddushin, in yisuin, kiddushin yisuin. If a woman gets married and the husband has a certain woman she didn't know about, we say that in some cases that they're still married. Oh, she'll say it was a mekach talos. The answer is tafu le'seftan, the woman just wanted to be married. Now that is a very simplistic presentation. It's not actually what the Gemara says. I always like to point out, nobody ever cites, the Gemara quotes like five different Nivamos at the end of the 15th parakeh. The Gemara cites like five different versions of that folk proverb. Tava Mesav Tanda means better to be a pair in the Mesav Arnold, to be a widow. And the last line in the parakeh is, V'chuma mezanos v'tolos v'valeh. And all those women married to these oisvars, yeah, they want to be married because they want to have a shame married on it, but they're busy being mezana and they attribute the children to their husband. So it's not that, this is not a statement that Chazah, firstly, the statement's actually much more limited than people realize. But it's not, Chazal did not say this approvingly. It was a sociological observation, not a good thing. This Chazaka was incredibly important. It was a major controversy over this place. Many presidential successions ago, I think all the parties are no longer alive now. In the mid-1970s, after Dr. Belkin passed away, Yeshiva University was looking for a president. The two candidates who were vying were Rabbi Emanuel Rachman and Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. And the Rav was vehemently opposed to Rabbi Rachman because of certain halachic positions he had adopted, the Rav thought, were michutz lamachaneh. And these actually came out practically later in the issue of Aguna. Rabbi Rachman's based, and if you want to call it that, was permitting women to remarry on the claims that had they known this about the husband, the real problem was that these are not things that were true about the husband at the time of marriage. We don't regard latent defects, generally speaking, as present at the time of the kiddushin. Right? Because 20 years later, the husband starts abusing his wife, does not mean that he was already an abuser when they got married. I mean, if he abused her the first night, that might be true. But the fact that he turns into a monster, we don't look at the elite, see the potential, and say, ah, it was a kiddushin tons. But Rabbi Rachman, part of it was, he claimed that today women are different, and they wouldn't be married to a kohen. And the Rav, and I'm not sure I agree with this, the Rav went and said, no, it's a din in the Bria, b'huyim shabach, it's a chazakas, the chazakas aren't changing. I think the Rav is correct. I think there are two points to make. Chazaka probably hasn't changed. Or not as much. I would say it hasn't changed at all, but it hasn't changed the way Rabbi Rachman thought it did. But more importantly, you have to understand what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara wasn't saying, that when a woman gets married, all women are being willing to get married to a Kohen. All women are happy to be married to a Kohen. It's not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is dealing with the following situation. You get married, you make a kiddushin, and you don't stipulate it tonight. I'm agreeing to marry you, provided that you're not a Kohen. Now, after the fact, it turns out he's an oisvar. Now we do a survey. 9 out of 10 women surveyed said that they would be willing or unwilling to be married to an oisvar. Here's the point of the Gemara. Even though 9 out of 10 women would say, I wouldn't have married the guy if he's an oisvar, because there is a significant number of women, it might be a minority, who would rather be married to an oisvar than be single, it is no longer what's called the varim shebelib of a leiv kaladim. If I sell Gabe my house, because I plan on making Aliyah, and I don't say, Gabe, I'm selling you my house because I'm making Aliyah, and I certainly don't make it conditional, can I now turn around, let's say Israel closes its borders, I can't make Aliyah, my opportunity's fallen through, Gabe, I want my house back. This is a very important Tosos and Kiddushin doctrine, Testament base. The Tosos lays out a three-part distinction. Sometimes the Mishnayos say we need what's called Mishpat Atanai. It's not just enough to say, Gabe, I'm making Aliyah, so therefore I'm selling my house. I have to say, Gabe, if I make Aliyah, I'm selling my house. If I don't make Aliyah, I'm not selling my house. And it has to be, it's not a kafel in both sides. It has to be Hein Kodem Olav. It has to be Gav Shev Shev Lekaimo.
has to be tonight called the Lanaisa. It's known as the Mishpatei Atanayim. Sometimes you need Mishpatei Atanayim, says Tosus. Sometimes Tosus says, because the connection is obvious enough, all I need is a Gibli Milsadam. We all understand. The reason I'm selling my house is because I make Aliyah. And therefore, if I could make Aliyah, it was beyond my control. Let's keep it simple. I didn't change my mind. I can say the sale is invalid. It was a conditional sale. And then finally, some things Tosa says, even if I didn't say a word, it's Dvarim Shevalibo Uvalev Kol Adam, and I don't have to say anything. We all understand that when you engage, I give you an example. I mean, it's a special takara sahama, but not for the takaras. A man is on his deathbed, and he gives all his assets away because he has no children. We thought he had no children. And then it turns out he dies, and he had children. There's probably under the buchach that had he known he had a child, he thought his child died. That's what they told him. They said it. He gave away all his nechassim to friends. He didn't want his brother to inherit whatever else. And now his beloved child shows up. Of course you're going to take the nechassim away from the people giving the child. Of course it was understood. He only gave it to them because, you know, because he thought his child was dead. Sometimes you don't need to spell out anything at all. So the point that Gemara is making about Tavon Mesa Tandon Mesa Armala is that it's not that any woman agreed to be married to any kol dohu, and therefore there are no kiddushin tavos. It's that there are enough women, it might even be a minority, who would rather be married to an oisvar. And therefore, there's no umdun of the muchach, but you can say it's Varm Shavalibo, Malev Kaladim, and they didn't say it at the time of the kiddushin. And therefore, you can't annul the Kiddushin on that basis because it's Dvarim Shevalev. It's not Dvarim Shevalev Ovalev Kaladam. It's Dvarim Shevalev, you know, Dvarim. You have to spell them out. Now, did the Gemara mean to say, would the Gemara have said, now this is, I'll tell you why this is relevant. You should know that those are, to Tosas and Kiddushin, you should go look it up in the Testament base. You should memorize that Tosas, put it in your pocket. It's just a central principle in contract for Halach. But did the Gemara mean to say, by Tavle Satan, if one woman on the face of the planet, Ramosha has a tshuva. Ramosha was the first posek I'm aware of who allowed women after Nisuin to annul a Kiddushin of the parents of Kiddushin Talos. Not just after Kiddushin. I don't want to go into that the whole sugina. Ramosha has several tshuvas in which he permitted a woman to remarry without a get after the Nisuin, because in one case there was an issue of homosexuality, which was already present before. I think the guy was in jail and he had homosexual relations. He might have abused children, but same-sex relations. And Rav Moshe said that no woman would agree to marry such a guy. Does it mean there's not a single woman on the face of the earth? I don't know. The stumma, they reach a point where 99% is Varm Shavalib or Valev Kalab. So perhaps the same, and even if you disagree on that, even if you say that there's one woman in Tibet who would agree to marry such a man, maybe she wants a green card, I don't know. If there's one woman in Tibet who would do it, would say the Talmud of Tandu applies in this case, the anonymous could have a separate statement. When Shmuel says, a regular robe, but there might be a situation where it's a miuch in a matzui. And then we would say, that's one mahalach of this, Elinela.
Is that to say that it's just a numbers question and you get to a certain threshold where kulo, or that there are certain areas where, you know, possibly contributed by the statistical reality, but it's something totally fundamentally different than this is just what we assume to be the reality, not that we assume it to be the road.
What's enough for me? I'm asking you that seriously. See, I think what you're formulating is the second approach. And I will sort of present you with that. I mean, it's really, I don't know if it's the second way, which I think the Rashba actually says. Here, what's the other approach?
The Nachmina could be if you kind of take Shmuel to be, in ultimate moment after a robe of any robe, but this isn't really a robe, it's just, this is what we assume to be the reality, 100%.
Can somebody else give me, don't use Ellie's approach to the Rashba, to the Ramban.
what would the other reason be for saying? What would the other reason be for saying that you don't need Eidim, that you agreed to build, you agreed to divide the Chatzer without the stipulation? Which is not the same as your other approach, Alimelech, but it's closer. But that approach is closer than the first element. What?
It's like you're trying to figure out what happened, not.
Perhaps like the Rav and Jamal's case. Anybody want to suggest what's the alternative approach? Other than to say probability. Probability gets so low that you attach the stipulation to building the wall that I can't turn around and claim that that's actually the terms that you claim. I think the other way to explain this, which I think what the Rashba actually said, is that we know that you agreed to divide up the wall. There's a presumption when we look at this situation that you agreed to divide up the wall. Because what it means, when I sell an ox, there's a tabula rasa to fill in why I sell the ox. It's true a majority of people sell ox, a certain majority of people buy oxen for purpose A. But that tells you nothing of my mindset. When someone agrees to divide up a chatzer, that automatically brings with it the obligation to build a wall unless someone throws in a stipulation. We have to talk about what I'll call defaults. Right? If you think about Shmuel's case, selling an ox, the act of selling in itself, doesn't imply why you sold, what the purpose of the ox was for, in the absence of silence. And therefore, I as the mosuk on the sale, I want the sale to go through, I the seller. I can say I did for purpose X, you said I only for purpose Y. The sale went through is a tabula rasa, and therefore if you want to inscribe something on it, it's not enough to have a roof to override a hazaka. But once I agree to divide up a chatzer, and that forces me to build a wall, that's the default option. That's what dividing up a chatzer automatically brings with it. You want to go back and say, I divided the wall, but only with this particular condition. Allah Allah, be right. And that's what he says, that Kevan she'efshu l'chalka elabaritzoi v'anurono so mechlekes kvar noda al karchenu she'nisratzu b'chaluka v'chol she'nisratzu b'chaluka al karchen monos ha'chos b'ensa. Ah, but he says the chaluka was b'tanai. Yes, very right. Eli Melech.
In this case, the road would be a result of the default, not the other way around.
What's that?
The road would be a result of the default, not the other way around.
I think so, yeah.
Send him out as you.
I think so. That's something to chew over. I'll let you chew over that, this last little piece. It's kind of interesting because obviously it has very broad ramifications, which road you go down, for all sorts of cases in the Yemenos. Do you say that Eholchanat Mamanach HaRov means after a Rov Garua, but not after a Rov really Mirkaza? And we do have a concept in Isser Hether of Miram of a Rov with a Mir Amatsoi versus a Rov of Mir Chayim Amatsoi. Or do you say this is a question of defaults? You have to sort of refine the formulation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Josh, I'm so glad I did that because I only got 5 minutes. I'm going to do partial. Okay.
You've got an hour and 9 minutes.
Are you would not have been happy that way. Okay. Before
of course,
anybody,
now
anybody,
I won't pause.
What, anybody, any other questions about? I should have left it, yes.
But with the earlier part of the Rashi, we recorded the Rimi Gash as to the distinction between Bika and Chatzer. It seems like the Mufa Yosef has a different understanding of what the Rimi, of the Rimigash's differentiation.
I have to reread it. I remember he quotes the first set of life. I'll try to look at that later.
Okay,
only because I don't have it in front of me to make that judgment. Okay. Any other questions?
Right.
Same idea there.
It's only a suffix, it sounds like it's not strong.
Even though in general suffix can be 50-50, here it sounds like it's weaker.
That requires further discussion, whether that really is a valid distinction. But okay.
How do you know it's weaker?
See, it sounds like we're taking a vada'i as opposed to using the word rove, in which case it's just a big rove. It's like fundamentally a level above.
Okay. So, Elliot, I'll take the answer. I think it is true, but the idea of vada'i and suffix, if you look at it in the sugya that it appears in, vada'i is a default, and the suffix might have changed it. And so that's exactly what he's saying here.
Right.
In other words, I think it's more clarified about me. I don't know if it's